CBSI on the World. I'm John Batts with Nuri Turkle, the author of No Escape. The new book is the true story of China's genocide of the Uyghurs. Nuri was born in a prison camp. His mother, Aisha. Why was she in prison? Why was she being abused by the guards, Nuri?
Simply put, guilt by association. My mother is a remarkable woman. And anyone can say things like that about their mother, and they should. But my mother was remarkable in many aspects. One, she was very aware of the political environment early on. Supporting my maternal grandfather, who was politically very active and involved in the Second East Turkestan Republic. That was established in 1944 and dismantled by Mao's China with the help of Stalin's Soviet Union. That national sentiment, longing for independent state, was part of the Uyghur people and the society. My grandfather was very influential, a businessman. He had a jewelry store. And he was a musician, and he had family and friends gathered at my maternal grandparents' house. And my mom was a chief host, opening the door, greeting, and sending them out. So the Chinese noted that my mom had a very special connection to this nationalist individual who was my grandfather. And at the start of the Cultural Revolution, the Red Guards rounded up Uyghurs, much like the way that started rounding up in late 2016 and 2017. So they took my mother into re-education camp, where she was pregnant at the time. And not only that, they took my grandfather into another re-education camp. As if those are not enough punishment, they sent my father, university graduated educator, to forced labor camps, where he spent 3 years performing agricultural labor. When my mom was incarcerated, she was subject to verbal and physical abuses. As I noted, she's from a very traditional conservative family. Making horrible comments about her belly, beating her up, calling her names by a prison guard, was enough torture for her. During that period, she got physical injury that ended up being that resulted in cast on her body, around her torso, her legs. She delivered me while she was cast chest down. After I was born, one would hope that they will let us go, but I spent the first several months of my life in this world with my young mother, in this re-education camp in a giant Soviet-built building where my dad was away. During that time, I remember mom was telling me that there's a crack in the window through the wood panels, that she always bring me to the panel, close to the panel, with the hope that I might be able to get some natural sunlight. She might be able to have a glimpse of her mom shows up at the gate occasionally with the hope that my mom and myself will be out for daily rec time.
And this is 1970. This is before the present regime that is persecuting the Uyghurs now. So what we're looking at is a continuum, not something that happened after China became prosperous. This was true when China was in the grips of the Red Guard and the Cultural Revolution, 1970. Your father was condemned for intoxication with Soviet ideology, a quite fantastic charge.
Absolutely. And my father's crime, quote unquote, was also quite remarkable. It's something relates to what has happened to the Uyghur people today. My dad had relatives. They passed away. I recently been in Uzbekistan and knowing that my family's ordeal, my dad's ordeal then somewhat related to that country. I had such an interesting feeling when I was there on top of hearing the news that my father passed away while I was in there on an official trip. The relevance is this. And today, if you have a travel history to 26 countries, ironically, that also includes Uzbekistan, there's a chance for you to end up in a concentration camp is pretty high. There are 26 countries that includes the United States, Germany, Turkey, all the stands in Central Asia. So my dad's crime was essentially having a relative and occasionally listening to a Uyghur program broadcast through a satellite radio broadcasted from the other side of the border. My dad is an intellectual, Uyghur intellectual, and he was in Kashgar under a government program to educate the local people after he graduated from the Xinjiang University in 1961. He is not as politically aware as my mother, and yet he was just an educator. He probably likes to play chess, likes to write poetry, likes to hang out with his friends, just to, you know, any academic that you can think of in the United States. And the important aspect that you raise is something worth noting. People oftentimes think when they read the headline in our newspapers or watch programs on TV or listen to the program on radio, the reaction is that Uyghurs must have done something wrong so that Xi Jinping's China reacted. It's not. This has been ongoing repression and persecution as long as I have been breathing for, and as long as I remember, the fact that I named this book No Escape speaks volume, and because I've seen all of it, I started my life in a re-education camp, and I'm fighting against the similar type camp that the Xi Jinping's China set up at an industrial scale.
Let me get you to the United States quickly, because when we come back, we're going to explore the brutality of these last years. Nuri Turkle left China in the 1990s for education, made a decision to go to law school in the United States, moved to Washington, D.C., and we're speaking to him there now, has become active as a Uyghur leader since this last decade. We're going to go into what Nuri's been convincing the whole world, not just the United States, but the whole world, by using media and by writing about it when we come back. Nuri Turkle's new book is No Escape, The True Story of China's Genocide of the Uyghurs. Nuri Turkle is currently serving as vice chair of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. He is also a senior fellow at the Washington think tank, the Hudson Institute. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.